Hello and welcome, Breakthrough Success listeners. I'm your host, Mark Guberti, and this is the podcast where you'll learn how to achieve the breakthroughs you've been looking for in your business and life. If you want to grow your content brand, you'll definitely want to add my latest book, Content Marketing Secrets, to your reading list. This book will teach you how to create, promote, and optimize your content for growth and revenue. You can get your copy at Mark Guberti, that is Mark with a C. So markguberti.com/book. And now let's dive right into the show. Hello and welcome. I'm Mark Guberti, and I'm your host for the Breakthrough Success Podcast, where you'll learn how to achieve the big breakthrough in your business. And everyone wants to create their own ideal lifestyle. Today's guest has done just that by achieving an early retirement with the help of Airbnb. She owns 5 properties, manages 15, and teaches others how to invest in properties with Airbnb. She even has a service where she and her team will help you list and co-host your properties anywhere on the globe. Today's guest for episode 96 of the Breakthrough Success Podcast is none other than Ziona McIntyre. Ziona, it is such a pleasure to have you on the show.
Hi, Mark. Thanks so much. That was like a really good intro. I'm feeling pretty snazzy over here.
It's a pleasure to have you on the show. And one of the questions I ask first is just to get some backstory. So when did you first get into real estate and Airbnb?
It was 2012, so almost 6 years ago now. And I was just kind of like a regular college kid. I was going to massage school at the time. I was working just like a $12 an hour retail job, and I was really just like wanting something more. So I love kind of like letting people know where I had started, because you can really start from kind of nothing and build up pretty fast with Airbnb. So yeah, anybody can do it.
I absolutely love that idea of starting from basically the ground, because people think sometimes that you have to like have a really good head start, but you can really do it with no head start. And how exactly did you like what was that first start like for you?
Yeah. So, I had a friend who heard about Airbnb, and he had recently got laid off, and he was wanting to just like take a year off and travel, but he'd been living in New York and his rent was like $3,000 a month or something crazy. And so he's like, well, I don't want to get rid of my apartment, but I can't afford it. So I'm going to try this like Airbnb thing I've heard about. And that was like 2011. And he was traveling with it and like telling me how great it was. And, I was just really busy with school at the time. So I kind of was sort of ignoring him. And then after about a year of him being like so persistent, he told me that he made $50,000 on his one apartment. And I was just like, whoa, okay.
That's an attention
grabber. Like real money. Yeah. Totally. So that's when I got started. I just had, I had a 2-bedroom that I was living in. I was just renting a 2-bedroom apartment. And so I started with just like renting out my room, and then I had a roommate. And so I was like renting her room when she was gone. And then eventually she moved out and I was renting that room full time. So it was just, my main goal at the time was just to like not pay rent. So if I could get, at least get my rent covered, that was like the cool part. And then it like evolved from there, you know?
And that evolution, I mean, now you're consulting other people. You have that service I mentioned before where you help people get started with Airbnb. But how do you manage all of the property? Because you have your own properties, you have clients' properties. How exactly are you able to manage it?
Well, I have minions. yeah. So actually, I mean, there's a lot of really cool software out there, but I use some property management software that helps me out. Guesty is the primary one that I use. And it does, like, you have to have at least 10 properties to use Guesty. So it's not just kind of for like the average Joe. But there are a bunch of other ones too. But I think if you need help, it's better to have a person help you than software. But if you're a person who's going to be managing a bunch of properties, the software makes it really easy. You know, it helps you like generate reports and keep all of the conversations in one place, even over like multiple websites. And, you know, it's just kind of like more organized. So yeah, that helps me out a lot. But yeah, I don't know if you have like specific questions about how to do it. I mean, most of my guests, they let themselves in because we use lock boxes. So nobody has to meet them at the property. And then I have teams in every location. So we've got cleaners and handy people. So you can really just kind of like make it work from afar rather easily. It's just the initial setup that takes a minute.
And with that initial setup, I mean, you mentioned having the whole team helping you out. So let's say like me, like I'm a New Yorker, and you have someone in like another continent who is one of your clients. How would you find the people who would help keep that property in order?
Yeah. So, we were just setting up a property in Albany. And I have like one in South Africa. It's kind of the same as it would be just down the street. If I need to hire a cleaner in my own town, I'm going to do the same kind of stuff. I'm either going to look for a cleaning company that makes it a little bit easier because they'll have multiple people and a lot of flexibility with scheduling. So you can look at like Yelp, you can look at Angie's List, TaskRabbit, you know, Google. But if you just want to hire like an individual person, Craigslist has been like a go-to for me. And so, yeah, even in other countries, a lot of those sites work just the same. So it's just a matter of if I can't call them, then I email them and you kind of work it out going forward through that.
Now, when I first heard of Airbnb, like it's a completely revolutionary idea, giving homeowners and anyone the power to have a guest who pays a certain amount each night. And one of the things, though, there are some stories where like it's not the norm, but you see people like getting into an Airbnb house and like throwing a party in it or something like that, which you wouldn't want happening in your home. So how do you ensure trustworthy people are staying at your Airbnb properties?
Yeah, you know, I think that's really, it's almost like a wives' tale. I mean, there must be Airbnbs somewhere that get trashed from guests, but it's so rare. And it's always the number one like fear that I have, you know, with clients. They'll always be afraid that their house is going to get destroyed. And that really doesn't happen often at all. I can't even really think of it. I mean, there's been a couple of times that places were like dirtier than normal and we have to charge for like an extra 2 hours of cleaning, but it's never like they've destroyed the furniture or, you know, painted the walls or something crazy. People are generally pretty cool. So, I mean, they have a review system on Airbnb, so that really helps. If people have bad reviews, then you kind of steer clear of them. But in general, yeah, I mean, people have to leave a security deposit. So in general, they want that back. I think they're pretty respectful for the most part.
Well, I'm happy to hear that. Is something that almost never happens. It does happen, but I feel like when you see it once in the news, it could tend to dominate the conversation and overall perception of Airbnb. So I'm happy that we were able to clear that up for everyone.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I think that you hear it like once or twice, but you've got to like keep in mind that there's like a million people staying in an Airbnb every night, you know? So there's really not that many things happening that are in the news. It's like they're hosting on such a huge scale that of course there's going to have something every once in a while, but it's just the volume. So the chances that it's going to happen to you are pretty slim.
And for people who are thinking about Airbnb, there are like two main ways to do it. Either you let someone into your own home or you buy a property and you let that other person into your property. And I'm curious about how you would take both routes. So first, I'd like to talk about you do the Airbnb in your own home. How would that work?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think Airbnb with a home that you already have is the easiest thing just to test it out, you know, because if you're just gone for the weekend, why not make a couple $100 and pay for wherever you're going, you know? So I think that's easy. And I think some people have a little weirdness about having someone sleep in their own bed, but you can buy separate sheets or whatever you need to do. And so you don't have to change your home that much. A lot of my homeowners think that they need to completely move out, and it's just not true. I mean, you can leave a little closet space, maybe empty a drawer, but in general, if people are just coming for a couple of nights, they kind of just keep their stuff in their suitcase. And so they just use what you've got, and you put away anything that's like sentimental or breakable, but otherwise you just kind of let people try your house out. And if you have positive experiences with it, then maybe you think about, okay, well, can I scale this? Do I want to get other properties? But when you just use your own property, it's pretty like low investment, low risk, because you just let someone come into your home. It's not like you have to do too much to prepare for it.
And that low investment is definitely a great approach, because if you think of Airbnb as I have to buy another property, have that person in it, I mean, that's a big investment right off the bat. And then you have to find someone to make that revenue. But your own home is definitely like a lot less of a risk, because even if you don't get Airbnb clients, it's not like your life's going to change significantly or you made this big investment. But when people, like, let's say someone does the Airbnb in their own home, they like it, they have an idea of how it works, how would we then go to find other properties to grow the concept?
Yeah, so, I mean, the first thing that I think a lot of people don't think about is that, okay, you have your own property, right? And so you tried renting that out a little bit. But then if you want to continue to make income on it, can you clear out a bedroom and make that a full-time rental? Or can you develop a basement, like finish a basement and make that work? I've seen people add additions to the back of their homes. I've seen people add like kind of like a tiny home. So it can be kind of like a livable tool shed or something. You can make things in your yard. You can add on rentable space. You can buy an RV and park it on your lot. You know, you can put something in your driveway. So there's a lot of ways to make rentable spaces before even having to purchase another property, which is a lower investment than a full property. But yeah, if you're going to look for another property, really, that like casts a wide net. You can look anywhere in the world. So it's like, are you comfortable with something that's only within driving distance of where you live, so you can go look at it and visit it and work on it? Or are you comfortable investing in a market that might be cheaper, like the Midwest, if you don't live there, which is kind of what I did. So, I mean, that's what I generally recommend for people. But I think for some, it's a little bit hard to let go of control that much to have it be far away.
And if you're doing your first one, I would recommend keeping it close, especially your home if you can, because again, you want to test the concept before you expand into some area like the Midwest, for instance. But when we do have the listing, whether it be our own home, a livable tool shed or something in like the Midwest, how do we optimize that listing on Airbnb to attract people who are going to rent it out?
Yeah. So, I mean, the number one thing I would say is pictures, you know, and this is something that like is easy to get lazy about, but photos are totally worth spending money on and just getting really good professional photos. And then like second with the photos, I think that people sometimes just throw them on all random. But it's really good if you can do it in a way that you're walking someone through the house so that they have like a very clear vision of like what the layout of the home is. So I try to organize my photos that way, because that's really what's selling your property. You know, you don't want the photos to be better than the place actually looks or worse, but you want it to be kind of like honest and clear and bright and colorful. You know, people love that. So I'd say that's the very first thing. The listing should also be honest. Like, I think sometimes people only want to talk about the good things, but I think that it's good to say, like, these are the three things that people always rave about coming to my place, and here's one thing that might not work for you. And it sounds counterintuitive to say that, but it's an important thing to say that, like, hey, I live on a main road, and so if you're a light sleeper, you may not love this location, or, you know, something like that, just because if you're not meeting people's expectations, that's where you have an issue with reviews. And it's really important to just get those good reviews. So it's good to be clear.
I really find the focus on pictures interesting. I mean, you got to, that's a lot of pictures where you go from the door to the living space to anything like bathrooms, like a whole bunch of different things have to go into that. And it's interesting how you're mentioning reasons that this may not work for you, because in the short term, like Someone looking at that could just be like, no, I'm not interested anymore. But the long term is you get bad reviews from people who didn't see that this was a reason why I shouldn't stay at this particular property. So I do find that really interesting that you're being very honest about it in a way that you may get less customers in the short term, but in the long term, you're going to get a lot of nice reviews.
Yeah, which in turn makes more customers. So that's what you really want.
Yes, as those reviews add up, and that'll help with the Airbnb ranking. And one of the things that I see with any type of venture, whether it be Airbnb and creating a short-term vacation real estate empire with that, or just any type of ambition, a lot of people have this big idea, like they want to achieve this level of success, but most of these same people, they're not reaching their full potential. So I'm wondering what you believe holds most people back from reaching that full potential.
I mean, I think beliefs get in people's way. I mean, we all hold ourselves back on what we believe we are capable of. And so I think that's a huge thing. But I think it's also important to kind of set a definition of what success looks like for you and maybe move that and reevaluate it from time to time. But it's nice to just have like kind of small barriers of success, like celebrate at every milestone so that you're really seeing that you're growing and you're achieving more rather than having it be, oh, I need to make $1 million this year and have it be so far away that you feel like you're failing when it's like, wow, I made, you know, twice as much as I did last year. So it's like, look at the small wins and celebrate that. I think that really helps like build momentum.
And I've heard a lot about the, reward yourself on your way towards the ultimate milestone. It's a tip that I commonly hear, whether it's article, audiobook, podcast episode, or any other form of content. But I feel like we're really bad at doing that. So how would we actually take action on like celebrating what we've done?
I had a coach for a little while and he recommended that I did like a 30-day celebration. And so every day my assignment was to find something to celebrate and post about it on Facebook. And I really loved it. It was just really fun. I mean, I think it's the same thing that people have practices in gratitude where every day they say something they're grateful for, but it just really helps you appreciate like what happens every day and how to celebrate that. And there is a little bit of a reward in just the act of celebrating. And it doesn't mean you need to develop an alcohol habit or something like that, but just even just feeling good and realizing that you've accomplished things is helpful. But I also think self-care is really important. So, you know, I have my regular like massage appointments and chiropractic and go to yoga and things. So I find that if I get a little out of balance and I'm working too much, my business suffers anyway. So you've got to like take care of yourself first for success to happen. And I think that's an interesting disconnect that happens pretty often is that people are like, oh, I don't need to eat lunch today. Or, you know, I'm just working through and I'm going to just forget about everything else. And I don't need to go hang out with my friends because I'm just working on this project. And it's like, if you're not balanced, you're not going to have a bunch of like good, juicy energy to create with. So it's important to take care of yourself and like check yourself because it's easy to get excited and work too much.
That Facebook activity is a really good idea because, I mean, we definitely don't take enough time to reward ourselves or even acknowledge what we've done. And that is a really great way to acknowledge all of the great things that we're doing. And I'd like to quickly transition to another insight that I know that this provides a lot of value to listeners, to myself as well. So what do you believe are three great books that will help us grow our businesses?
I really like The E-Myth. So I have a bunch of books on my website that are recommendations, but The E-Myth is one about becoming an entrepreneur and all the things that you think that you can do yourself, but ways that you actually need other people's help. And they've turned that series into like one for each type of business, but you can just get the general e-myth and listen to that or read that. And that's a really good one. There's one called The Big Leap. I think The Big Leap is a really good one. It kind of talks about, this like imaginary glass ceiling of like when you hit a certain amount of success and then you end up sabotaging yourself and kind of like hitting bottom again. And so it's kind of working with that so that you can continually grow without falling back. So I thought that was a really good one, but yeah, I don't know. I guess I'm not reading that many books, on business right now. It's like when I read, I want it to be like fun. So maybe I should be, maybe I should get your book list, but, I have more on my website. I just, don't have like a ton right off the top of my head. Oh, actually I have one more. There's this one that I've been, toying with lately because it's got really good goal setting. And as the year's turning over, I don't know when you're going to put this live, but as of now, it's not 2018 yet.
Not yet.
And, I like looking at what, you know, what goals, and how to like break up goals into smaller chunks. So there's this one called Never Eat Alone, and it's mostly about networking, and how you should always like be having lunch with people and kind of expanding your network. It's a really good book. But it also talks about goals. And generally I think people get a little too crazy with goals, but I think it's good to have a few and have like very clear, like intuition and visualization about what you're going for. So I think that's a really good one for that. Yay. Three.
I'm proud.
Celebrate.
All right, Breakthrough Success listeners, those books and the show notes will be at markaburry.com/E96. And before we go, I love flipping the tables. This is a question that it gets a lot of different responses. So I've asked you a bunch of questions. What is one question we need to be asking ourselves more often?
Wow. I think the most important thing is like, checking in with yourself and like how happy you are. Like, are you really enjoying what you're doing? Or are you just doing something because it's your routine and it's what you scheduled 2 weeks ago and you feel like you have to do it? Or are you really enjoying it? And if you're not and you still have to do it, how can you make yourself enjoy it? How can you find the silver linings or, you know, look for the gold in people so that you can enjoy them more, or, you know, take a little walk in the middle of your day and really find like a little bit of joy. So I think, sometimes we get jaded by the future and like what we're planning, but it's important to enjoy every day. So yeah, that's what I would ask is like, are you enjoying yourself? Check in about that.
Ziona, thank you for taking the time to share that great question and for sharing all of your great insights throughout this episode. And Breakthrough Success listeners, if you want to take your Airbnb to the next level or you want to get started, Ziona is the right person for you. She shared a lot of great insights in this interview. You can head over to ZeonaMcIntyre.com. That's Z-E-O-N-A and then McIntyre.com to learn about dominating with Airbnb, getting clients, a lot of things that we already discussed about, but in much more detail. And you could definitely use her service as well if you want help with listing and co-hosting your properties on Airbnb. Ziona, it was such a pleasure to have you on the Breakthrough Success podcast.
Thank you. Bye.
Breakthrough Success listeners, I need your help to keep this show running. I choose not to use sponsored ads in my episodes to provide you with a better experience. However, this decision gives me little money to pay for storage and my team, which comes over to over $1,000 per month. So please consider supporting the Breakthrough Success Podcast on Patreon by heading over to patreon.com/markguberty. For as little as $1 per month, you can help Breakthrough Success stay running while taking advantage of exclusive content and other perks that come with being a patron. To help support Breakthrough Success, head over to patreon.com/markguberty or search for Breakthrough Success on Patreon. That way, I can maintain the Breakthrough Success podcast so it stays running and provide you with valuable episodes.